Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
John Potter and Jay Biggs, live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, right here at 99.1 and 92.3.
Hello, everybody. It is, of course, live and local, but you can always check us out as well on Facebook or at 991fmtalk.com. You can just click the Listen Live tab right there and enjoy us from a PC anywhere. Okay, so in the studio with us right now, we have got Phil McDougal from the National Automobile Museum at downtown Reno. You've probably seen it. You probably heard about it. But what you may or may not have known or heard about is the fact that they have moved almost everything around. Phil, we were just talking during this break, and man, you have made some serious changes, not just to the venue itself, but also capacity, the events you have coming, the different kinds of cars. You were just telling me you have a Burning Man exhibit there now?
Well, it's coming in.
It's coming in.
Yep. Our goal is, at a minimum, every 2 months, we're going to have a new exhibit. We had muscle cars.
Shake it up a little bit.
You have to. We have to stay
so
relevant.
So they come back. Yeah.
The biggest thing I was sharing off the air was people go, well, I've been there. Well, why would I go back? Well, I want to give them a reason to go back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have we had a partnership with Pixar, Disney. We had Lightning McQueen and Tomator, who I didn't really know before, but we had a whole other audience come in just to check out those. We have Grease Lightning now, and Herbie the Love Bug, Onward. Fast and Furious cars, and we're just kind of mixing it up so we get different audiences to come out and engage with us again.
Right.
How did the love for classic cars first grab you? What was your first car that you ever owned, and how did it go from there for you?
Well, it's just the short version is I'm from Boston, Mass. Originally, I've been here for some time now, but back then, if those of you know that area, your cars didn't really do that well unless you had a garage. So my first car was a little Fiat, really mm-hmm. small car. And I'm kind of a large guy, so that was like Freddie Flintstone. But that's my first car. They gave me independence. I could see through the floor. I could see as I'm driving the cement because it was so rusted out. But it didn't matter. It got me to school. It got me anywhere I wanted. And it didn't last long.
Right, but it did what it needed to do.
It did. It gives everybody. I guarantee you, I ask this question a lot to people, and it completely breaks the ice no matter what, where they are in their life. I ask them what their first car is. Everybody remembers that for the most part. They don't remember what they had for breakfast, but they remember their first car.
I will say.
How about you, Jay?
Well, my very first car was a 1992 Mazda 626, so I wouldn't say it's classic.
Oh, might be, kids.
It would be classic this year, wouldn't it? I think so. It's 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah, 30 years this year. Anyways, I do love what Kanye West said. Kanye West said, he goes, I don't care what year it is that my kid gets their first car. They're getting a 99 Honda. I don't care if it's 2099. They're getting a 1999 Honda. That's their first car.
I had mom's car. The first car is usually mom's car. When she gets a new one, it was a 64 T-Bird with a back seat that looked like it was designed by Queen Elizabeth.
Oh.
That fancy curved back seat. But my friends thought the thermometer speedometer was really cool. And I actually bought racing stripes and the gas pedal shaped like a human foot from the J.C. Whitney catalog just to make this old T-Bird cool.
Oh,
terrible things we did.
Did you have an 8-ball on the gear shift too?
No.
I was waiting for that.
You bring me back memory
lane
now.
I put space food sticks in the glove compartment. I remember that for my friends to be cool.
Phil, tell us this. What's your favorite car that's come through the museum that you've seen so far?
I get that question a lot, and I keep going back to John Wayne's Corvette. I like the old classic.
You have 19. It there.
We have it there. We have John Wayne's personal Corvette, although most people don't realize he was given that. He owned it, but the man was just too big to fit in it, so he very seldom, if ever, really drove it around. But it was his,
and that's what you were saying is that a lot of these cars in the movies are just so small, and you're surprised by how these people can fit in it. But I mean, per capita, people in Hollywood are very tiny.
They are. We're trying to get much more involved in the community and doing parades. So I got about 7 or 8 of them ready to go. And sorry, this is embarrassing, but the one of the biggest criteria is, can I fit behind the wheel? I don't know. These people back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, every one of them was skinny. The wheels go like 3 inches from the seat.
Oh,
so
I know.
Well, we didn't have preservatives.
Yeah, that's just it. No fast food.
Oh, you
food.
See some of these cars with a metal dashboard on the old Ford Falcon. The grew up with that car. But what you say, Phil, is interesting because not just John Wayne's Corvette. Every car there has a story. You have Bill Harrah's original, was it a Jeep Wagoneer or something?
Yes.
That he outfitted this thing out like James Bond.
I love that you know that. The Jamari.
Right.
It was
he had
a wagon.
These buttons and lights, Jay, that it was like a control tower. In the driver's seat.
Really? It's like flying a plane or something?
Well, he had to go over the hill in the wintertime because he lived in Tahoe and his business was in Reno.
It was, but he didn't like it because it went too slow. So he took it back. Do you know this part of the story?
No.
He took it back. It was his wagon. And he said, took it into his shop. He says, here, I want you to take this engine out, extend it by whatever it was, 4 or 5 inches, and I want you to put my Ferrari engine in it. So that's what they call it, that car down there. And it is a classic, and it goes like from 0 to whatever, 100 in 4 seconds.
It's a wagon with a Ferrari engine?
Ferrari engine.
You know, when you got
highlight.
When you got the money, you can do anything. Wow.
But it's what you said. It's the stories part. People forget. So most of those people were, I mean, they were heroes. We have one called the Thomas Flyer, won the race around the world. Mm-hmm. Those were true heroes. 1908, driving around the world. It's the first time many people got to ever see an automobile. And it's the stories behind that and the people that created them that are special.
Show the kids the Batmobile there. I saw the Batmobile 2 weeks ago. You have an Elvis Cadillac, right?
Elvis Cadillac, and we found Elvis's will in it, and we found his
original. His what in it?
His will. This is a
His
story.
Will was in the car?
I'm a huge Elvis fan, so when I got there, they put some things on my office wall, and they heard a story about this box that we couldn't find. The short version was, I found it in storage. We opened it up. It was Elvis' original karate uniform. You see in all the pictures.
Oh, my God.
His will, his personal, his original black belt certificate, and a whole bunch of other stuff that was in the trunk that no one saw
for
28 years.
You actually have Elvis's gi?
His gi. Actually, we got it authenticated by Graceland.
Wow.
How did you get this? Well, it was donated. Just no one knew. It's all personal.
Did you frame
everything.
It and put it up or anything like that?
No, don't have the resources to really do that right now. But it's
he was
cool.
Probably stashing it all in the Cadillac because you probably didn't trust it being in Graceland or something.
It was amazing. Well,
somebody tried to carjack him. He just get out, throw that on, and give him a chop.
Yeah, it's funny. And actually, if you look in Frank Sinatra's car, you'll see another one is he had those, I know those orange labels everybody used to put on things like Demax, some kind of label thing.
Yeah, the
did.
Little maker that you click it. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he has a Ghia there. It's a really expensive car, but he didn't know how to do the 8-track or anything. So he had someone put little stickers all over his dashboard to tell them, like, this is what the power is. This is the radio.
And like the Batman TV show.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's
every button had
Frank
a label.
Sinatra,
just thrown together.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly. But here's Frank Sinatra in the Rat Pack driving around with these big orange labels all over his dashboard.
You know, it's funny you say Elvis Cadillac because my second car, 73 Mustang Grande, I named it Elvis. I named that car Elvis. And the reason why? It shook, rattled, and rolled. It was a lemon. It was the only lemon I've owned in all my. By then, Ford didn't seem to care at all. We're talking 1973, and unfortunately, that's why these imports took a big share of the automobile. You even have the lemons there. You even have the cars that should never have been built in the first place at your museum.
Yeah, most people are surprised. I have to quote, I'm probably quoting the wrong number, but it was thousands of manufacturers at one time. And people just don't realize how many there were back in the early days and whittled down or merged together. But there's a lot of lemons back then, a lot of creative ideas.
And it must astound a lot of young people to see how big cars were back then. It floors me when I see like an old Lincoln Continental that you have at the museum. They could have had the Last Supper on the hood of that car.
They're heavy.
How did you look over the hood to see what was in front of you? I'll never know. You must have had to sit on a cushion in the driver's seat.
Well, try pushing them around because we take all the liquid and everything out of them. So we're moving all these 225 plus cars. they're pushing, and volunteers are in there helping us make it happen.
When you pulled into a service station back then, you said, fill the oil and check the gas. I mean, really. I had to sell a car like that when gas went to $1 a gallon. A dollar a gallon. And I thought it was too expensive.
Yeah. Well, different times.
Yeah, it was.
The other day I looked at gas and it was over $5. I'm thinking to myself, oh, it's not too bad just because it wasn't near six. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't normal.
Don't start me on that.
I should normalize this.
Don't start me on that. The minute it hit the news this week about OPEC, I was driving through Carson City. I'm going toward Genoa. Diesel truck. I have a diesel truck now. It was 485. You could see the signs along the highway. 485, 485. The same day I'm driving back to Reno, and it was 525.
Yeah.
This is the day OPEC said they weren't going to bottle up as much oil as before. And immediately, some gas stations took total advantage of that. The gas that's down there in their tanks was bought not for the new price already. They're selling the new the gas they already had at the price they thought it would go to in like a week. That's criminal. Anyway, I'm sorry to get off topic.
Well, the gas is kind of not off topic. It is something that's very hot right now with people.
Well, anyway.
Phil, we are talking about classic cars, which definitely aren't what you would call gas savers.
No, not gas savers, but quality. I mean, I get in a car accident in one of those cars. I feel, we don't have they didn't have all the technology, the airbags and all that, but they were made solid.
Oh, right. No, yeah. You definitely were flying along the road in a hunk of metal. Or steel, not just aluminum, like John was talking about earlier.
So, we got to take a break, but we're going to be back with Phil. Yes?
Yeah, Jay? I was going to say, you're going to hang out with us some more,
absolutely,
Phil?
Absolutely, love to.
It's been fun so far. All right, stick
folks,
around.
Folks, call up and tell us what your first car was or what your favorite classic car was. And you know our phone number, don't you?
775-884-9910. Please give us a shout. We're going to be back right here with Phil McDougall, National Automobile Museum, 99.1 FM Talk in Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's live and it's local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Make sure you go and check out our podcast at 991fmtalk.com. And also, please join us on Facebook. John?
Go to the National Automobile Museum. It'll blow you away because it has totally changed. They even build sets now around some of these cars. Phil McDougall is head of the museum. So you're building a White House set?
We are. We have Batmobile cave. We built that around
built
the Batmobile.
Cave.
We have Elvis's big letters like in the movies, a Back to the Future set, and we're building a White House set, the press room, 1960s, around JFK's personal car with the podium and the presidential seal. We want people to get involved in it and take a picture and learn a little bit more versus walking by it.
When you say JFK's personal car, what was this his private car, not the government car?
No, it was his personal convertible they had down there in Florida. Whenever he was in Florida, we have a picture of him and Jackie and Bobby in the car. And all the ones in one particular area, I mean, they're owned by Al Jolson or owned by Lana Turner or the Tucker car. We take our pride not only in our collection, but a lot of those more iconic automobiles.
This all started when Bill Hara collected cars. And Phil, you weren't here then, but the National Automobile Museum used to be in a huge warehouse right by John Esquaga's Nugget. It would take you forever to go through it, but it was really just a warehouse. There were no sets or anything like that. You just looked at all the... Bill Hara bought like over 100 classic cars.
In total, he had over 1,400.
1,400.
Plus Damn. 200.
Oh, can 200, you imagine?
That's why he had Harris Ranch. He was going to do a big garage probably.
Can you imagine being behind him at the DMV in line? Oh, my goodness.
It's funny. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of those license plates that he originally bought. We have a very extensive library, and some of the license plates are really iconic. We have some really unusual ones from back in the day.
So during the commercials, you're running on about all the things that you have there, and I have to ask you to repeat it again. Sell these folks now on By the way, you are a nonprofit, pretty much. I mean, you just get the admission fee, and you survive by through the help of a lot of volunteers there.
Volunteers. We're a 501c3. Most people are surprised when they hear National Automobile Museum. They think we get all this big money. We get zero from the federal, from the state. We apply for grants like everybody else, but none of that. Everything we do to keep the lights on is made possible through donations and people who just love automobiles and come through at, you know, $10 to $15 per person. But we literally could not do it without our volunteers. 105,000 square feet.
Do you still need some?
Oh, we still need some. We had 100, and, well, guess, but I'll just tell you, 146,000 people came through last year, and we have eight full-time people.
Whoa.
And we're open 7 days a week. Only 2 days a year we're closed.
Phil, if somebody wants to get involved as far as being a volunteer, how would they do this?
Just contact the museum and contact me directly. I would love to meet with them. We have a whole volunteer group, about 35 people. And the cool thing is, if you like to be at admissions, or you want to work in the cars, or you want to go polish the cars, or you just want to go greet people or be docents or help us at the events, we are an event center now, too, and we have a private theater. So they just call us and say anything.
Rent the room for parties, and you have the outdoor bar and all that.
Outdoor bar, even if a theater. We have a movie theater. People thought we built it during COVID. And I go, no, it's been there since 89. If you want to take you and your closest 170 friends and get a bottle of wine and watch a movie in there, or a birthday party for kids, it's got something for everybody.
There's a capacity for 170 people in the movie theater?
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie theater. We have.
How did I not know this was in there?
Yeah, we updated it. The screen's at least 20 feet by 19 or by 20 feet high. All the auto, we have two podiums, all the infrared. I'm not infrared. That sounds like high tech. All the Wi-Fi, we beefed it up as high as we can for presentations.
Oh, this is so cool.
It struck me as I was going through the museum looking at these cars one time that it hit me. There are two types of cars that guys buy. The before wife and kids and the after wife and kids. Sports cars and then like family vehicles. And it was funny because I was at the museum once and some kid pointed to one of your station wagons, one of your classic old station wagons there. And he goes, oh, wow, that's the Christmas vacation car.
It probably is.
Yeah, it could be.
Or Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, some of the ones that Mr. Hara purchased, people are surprised, like that number over 1,300 automobiles. Sometimes I heard stories that he really just wanted one. But word got out that if Mr. Hara wanted one, he would buy whatever you wanted to buy that one. So he says, I really want that car. Well, if you want that one, you got to buy these 20. Well, he'll buy all 20 to get that one.
Oh, my.
Let me ask you this, because Jay and I have speculated on this before. Will we see Lexus, Kias, and Hyundais in the Reno Automobile Museum of the future?
Yeah.
Will we be oohing and aahing over a Ford Fiesta and a Probe in 20 years? I can't picture it.
Yeah, I can't either.
Will somebody open up an old barn door and get excited about an old Toyota Corolla? I just know.
I can tell you, these people have come in to me, like all those people that said, I could have bought that house back then. I could have had that house when it was only $20,000. Now it's $400,000. They said, I could have had that car, and they never thought it'd be worth anything. Well, I guarantee you 20 years from today, they'll be looking at some of these cars and saying, who would have thought? This would be in the museum.
As long as I don't take my car semi on any of these street races, we'll be all right.
First Tesla semi? Are you going to have that?
I don't know.
No, you don't get the new.
So our producer, Craig, down in Carson City right now, you can't hear him just because you don't have headphones on, but he was saying that they've done some special events. His theater company has done several dinner murder mysteries there at the National Automobile Museum. So there's an idea and for other events that you could do there.
Our event, over 1,000 people, and we have our tables and chairs, and outside over 2,000 people, and then theaters.
Take the kids, because I feel young people today don't have the love, the fascination with cars that we did as teenagers. To hold the steering wheel and drive was a thrill to us, and now the teens don't want or know how to drive a stick shift. And automakers are trying to perfect self-driving cars. How unfun is that? We used to pick a car because chicks love it. Now you can't even say that.
I love tripping out my Uber passengers because my car does have the self-driving. It's as close to the self-driving of a Tesla as you can get. I can't enter a destination and it drives there, but if I stay in the number one travel lane and I just let it go, it stays and it drives itself around curbs and it blows people's minds. But my I still never learned how to drive a stick. I have the millennial anti-theft device built into me. And here's why. I know you're looking, I got Phil even over here looking at me like, what? And here's why. It's because my mom, you know, growing up, we grew up in a poor area. She had I forget what year, a Isuzu Rodeo, and she wanted to take me out and show me how to drive a stick. And I got about 1,000 feet, and I blew her clutch. And we were out of a car for about 2 weeks, and she was so angry with me, so I just never once again ever said, why would I ever do this when I could just hit drive and go?
Sad to say, they don't even make many cars at all with a stick shift. Even Porsche has an automatic transmission model. Yeah, what the heck?
It's changed. Can I just touch on one quick thing you just mentioned? That is spot on what we're hearing all the time. People don't have the connection like we used to when we grew up with them, but some of them don't know where the gas goes in. They don't know where the oil goes in. They don't know how that stuff works. So we're starting a program there for school kids to come in there, all ages, to come in and just learn the basics. Because, you know, vocational school, we don't have that as much as I think we should.
Right.
Yeah. And not everybody wants to go to college. They need to get their hands wet, and they're hands-on people, but those opportunities are not as often as they should be. You don't have them in school anymore. So we're going to bring that back to the museum and offer all those people that want to get that hands-on experience, or maybe they're at risk and they just need something to latch onto.
God bless you, Phil. All right, folks, National Automobile Museum. And where is it? It's downtown.
It's One Museum Drive, right on the river, One Museum Drive. You can't miss
it. I love that address. That's really cool. And you got the brand new facility. I think folks should go down there and check it out. Do you have a website?
We do. It's automuseum.org. Automuseum.org.
Please get involved. Go volunteer with them.
Thanks,
it's been Phil McDougal with the National Automobile Museum. Thank you for joining us this morning, Phil. And we are going to be right back live here next. We have got Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel.
She's travel gonna be agent in the house.
We're going to talk about some exciting adventures next right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
Is FM Talk.
It's live and it's local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Our podcast always up at 991fmtalk.com about an hour after every episode. And we are on Facebook. But right now, we're also live on the air, John.
Yes, those awful COVID restrictions have loosened for travel, and the dollar is stronger, which means you get more bang for your buck in other countries, and that's why I invited Duncan, Cordially Yours Travel. She is a travel agent. Hopefully, we'll find out about some deals and such. Welcome to the show, Gwen, and thanks for bringing your husband, Ron, here.
Oh, thank you.
So is that true? How bad were those restrictions with the COVID and everything? You were telling me in the lobby.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
Yes, it was unbelievable. Actually, Ron and I were in Japan when it was first brought out, and we managed to get home, which was fine.
Yeah.
But I'm an owner of a host agency, and I have 24 agents. And I had several agents who had large groups on Holland America, for one, as an example. That had gone to Singapore, and all of a sudden the ship couldn't stop anywhere, and they had to stay on there. And then whenever they went to get off, they couldn't come back to the United States because of that repatriation I was telling you about.
When did that end?
That started happening right after the COVID. They didn't want people coming back until they had gone through the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you tested positive, you had to stay in a foreign country for that 2 weeks before they would allow you to come back home.
Dark days.
That's changed as of June 12th of this year.
Okay.
They've opened it up. And so that's the reason I'm really excited, because travel has really started to get stronger. It was real tough in 2020.
I keep holding off because, Gwen, to be honest with you, every experience I've made traveling, short staff everywhere. I was I was at Harvey's at Tahoe last month. This is closed. That's closed. This is closed. No bar at the pool. Steakhouse closed. No valet parking. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I had to tell them, I said, what was the resort fee for?
They even closed the hot springs on you, David Wally's last week.
Yeah, that too. But they hold on to that resort fee. They would not budge.
I think that staffing has really affected all aspects of travel. Hotels, conferences were zilch. Nobody was doing conferences in Las Vegas. I mean, it really hit hard in Las Vegas. But the cruise ships also had staffing problems when they finally were able to open up. There were ships stopped at Gibraltar that didn't do anything for a year.
Okay.
And how did they function, you know? They still had to maintain their ships. And so they're paying without getting any money coming in. And then when they finally opened up, the ships weren't even filled 25-50%. There are risk takers who will go anyway.
Yeah, it's like the Port of Los Angeles. Things were stuck there for months and months and months, too. You know?
Well, it's a different scene now. And as I said, the dollar is super strong. And so traveling internationally has got to be a bargain.
Oh, it's
where are the best deals? Where are the countries to go to really?
Seems like everybody's in Greece right now.
Well, Greece is a popular place. The EU countries there's a real attraction to going there because you have the English speaking, you know. So if you've never been international, you're going to want to go to Scotland, Ireland, England. And so they're getting a real good bounce now, which is wonderful. But
there's also a lot of pent-up demand. People have been wanting to go somewhere, and now they finally can. So things are on the upswing.
Okay, I call it COVID fatigue.
COVID, and also they saved up some bucks from not going out and traveling.
but you're right. It's really hard. And like the restaurants, you didn't have the service that you wanted. Mm-hmm. They're still having that on the cruise ships and tour operators.
All right, so big deals in Greece. Where else?
Oh, Greece. Greece is pretty good, but
Croatia?
Oh, Croatia has gotten so popular.
I know. I know four people
really
have gone there this year.
My rep for that is really strong. And I tell you what, no, they're really good. But most of the people and the good deals are in the English-speaking ones because people just want to get out and they want to feel familiar, get their feet wet. But some of the destinations that are intriguing are Africa. They've got some real restrictions, and they're just now releasing that. And so, and that's a high ticket destination,
like Johannesburg, right?
No, I was thinking. Well, yeah, I was thinking they've got riverboats like in Chobe River and stuff that are riverboats are real popular,
like the Viking River cruises, kind of.
Speaking of Viking,
it's a dream vacation of mine.
The riverboats and oceans are very popular, rather than the land vacations.
Right.
And that's because they provide you your transportation, your food, your everything.
All-inclusive, basically.
Everything is pretty much all-inclusive. But there are different – there's a lot of advertising going on for both ocean and river because they've opened up.
Right.
And they're getting close to 100% capacity right now, which is wonderful, which is wonderful. But so there's a real, when you say good deals, there's a lot of competition for those people who are anxious to go now. A lot of competition. And so there's, like I had one deal, it was for a single. Singles are real hard because they have to pay 200%.
Oh, wow.
And some of them are advertising 45% or free, you know, a senior waiver, a single waiver. And so I just booked somebody yesterday. It was regular, a single for it was a 10-day for $25,000.
$25,000?
And it got reduced to $18,000 because they were desperate. They wanted to fill as many. See, once
you're talking
the ship
about
goes,
the,
they want people
right.
on there.
That's unheard of because I thought the cruise ships, and they'd always stick to that, well, you have to pay for two people even if you travel as one. So that's the first time I heard of they're coming down from that.
And the river boats, they're pricey.
Yeah.
But the river boats have certain sailings. They compare it to last year or whatever. And they will pick particular weeks, and they will waive the single. And so That is real popular, and I've got a whole database of singles who want to know when that happens and what destinations. The tulip one is popular for people. That's a real good one. And anything along the early first people are doing the Danube and the Rhine.
The Christmas market.
Yeah.
Let me ask Italy, you. Because everybody wants to go there and do the selfie where you're holding up the Tower of Pisa with one arm, right? Got to do that.
Italy is really popular, and they and Canada have released restrictions to be able to go on. That happened October 1st. Canada.
Coming back. You know, I hate it when Facebook reminds me that a year ago today I was traveling. They should make sympathy cards for having to go back to work after vacation, by the way. I think that would sell.
Have either of you guys been on a cruise?
I have never been on a cruise, and ever since the Love Boat, I've always wanted to be on a cruise. It hasn't happened yet for me.
I've always wanted to do one of those Alaskan cruises where you see, like, the ice breaking away and stuff. You know, yeah. I thought that would be kind of cool. I don't know. Just something. Yeah, so my dad built a cruise ship dock. He had a traveling construction company. I lived on Vancouver Island for 3 years. And so I watched them build the dock, but I never got to go on a cruise ship.
Oh my gosh.
It's like watching being made, never drive.
Alaska had a tough time this year because of Canada's restrictions.
Well, yeah, everybody's had a tough time because of Trudeau in Canada.
You know, you had to work so hard to try to get off in Canada.
Yeah.
But those are all opening up. This is all a positive thing, and that's what I'm glad that I had an opportunity to say something. Just since June and October, big changes have opened up, and I want to encourage everybody to travel.
Well, I'm just happy there are travel agents still around like you. I got to say, these third-party travel apps, this Hotwire, the Travelocity, the Expedia, I finally stopped using them because you get a good price, but the absolute worst service. They give you on purpose these hotels. If you book through Hotwire, like I do now and then, they give you on purpose the worst rooms. I don't know.
You should say that's exactly true.
They do, and the worst service, and you're stuck with it. You can't call up Hotwire, and it's ridiculous. So
when you
I finally quit.
They know how you booked.
Right. Now,
they know
I'm
how you
thinking,
booked.
Now, Gwen, I got to be honest. If I owned a hotel and somebody came in from Hotwire or Expedia, I would know that, and I'd check, and I'd know that this is the first time these people have ever seen my hotel. Wouldn't you want to give them the best room so that they come back? No, you're going to leave them with a first impression of the worst room in the hotel? I don't get that.
Well, it's more interesting than that. Then they try to upgrade you. Once you're there, you pay a cheap price to get there with Hotwire.
Oh, the fees they didn't tell you about. Yes.
And then they upgrade you. Says, well, if you want this room with a better view, you got to pay more.
All right. Well, John just always looks forward to hearing from the folks from the Philippines who check in on him from time to time and with customer service.
What? Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
And
they pick up a name like George, right?
No. Don't they ask for Mr. Potter?
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's really affected the industry as well, because when we call the different vendors, they've let go of so many of the BDMs, their business development managers and everything.
Right.
So when you're calling and you wanting to help a client, you get sent to some place where you can't even understand them.
Right.
You know, the voices. They want to do everything online too.
Well, let me ask you, how's travel right now in Dubai? Is it?
Oh, it's a popular destination. It's a popular destination, but it's really, that one's a little tougher. It's been a little bit tough.
Has it been?
It's been tough to sell, and because they can get pricey.
Right.
They're very pricey, but looks pretty.
But I tell you what, I had somebody finally say they wanted to go to the Maldives. You heard about the Maldives.
Oh, yeah.
It's really everybody wants to do a honeymoon or something there. And you go there, and it's like so expensive. And I went through and checked, and why spend that much money to get there? And then stay there, and then it's really hard with their costs are so high.
Well, my ex-girlfriend went to Mexico recently. They tried to a few months back, and they charged her $70 for a COVID test. And I'm like, is that in pesos? Or?
Well, you mentioned the paradises there. What's the cheapest paradise?
The cheapest paradise?
Yeah. Would it be Mexico?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking because of all the news.
And that's
people
paradise?
People go to, like, Belize.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I love Mexican beaches.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're on the beach, just don't go past that fence on the other side of the resort.
As long as there's a lot of beer there, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, in Jamaica. Jamaica is really popular for people on the East Coast.
We got to take a break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to find out about some domestic destinations I have to ask you about, Gwen. Travel agent Gwen is here with Cordially Yours Travel. Local travel agent. We'll be right back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Let's take a quick look at our Saturday morning traffic brought to you by Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply. Carson Valley's favorite hardware store is your source for barbecues and barbecue tackle. Get ready, gear up for fall with yard necessities and rugged Carhartt clothing, Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply. Well, as I take a look here at accidents, there is one in Gardnerville at State Route 88 at Mottsville Lane. This is injuries involved. Unfortunately, one lane taken up on the northbound side. Once again, that's 88 at Mottsville Lane. And over in Northern California, no incidents out of Central Truckee CHP.
John. In the studio with us is Gwen Duncan, owner of Cordially Yours Travel. Do people say, oh, you're a travel agent, you must go on holiday all the time, right?
That is a real common question.
Yeah. I've had people tell me, why do you travel so much? Are you rich or something?
Oh.
It can be done on a budget,
and that's why we have you here.
I want to dispel that rumor.
You like home?
Actually, in New York City and some of these places, they got people who will charge like, you know, $50,000, $30,000, and they are like your own personal travel agent. That's the only way you can make money. But if you work groups, you can make some money. But it's a fun career if you like helping people, plan their dreams. The problem is the last 2 years has been a nightmare.
Right, boy.
Personally,
we do go on some trips just so that we could discern what the client is best for the client. And
yes,
you can't sell something you don't know.
There's great value in that. I wouldn't know what the best European country to go to right now would be, but you do know you go there all the time and you know where the best deals are. You could probably, I don't know, can you beat these third party travel websites in terms of cost? I mean, you are privy to some package deals and things
that
don't show up on the...
You know, what people don't understand is that you can go to the third party, like Expedia or something, and see something that looks pretty good. But what happens is, I'm going to use mine as an example. Many travel agents belong to consortia. So I belong to a consortia. It's my marketing arm.
Right.
And they've got like 4,000 agencies that belong to this. Mm-hmm. And so they negotiate with vendors deals and promotions and upgrades and shipboard credits if you're on a ship, free nights if you're on a tour. And those are given to us to give to our clients. And that makes it very competitive to this. And then you've got somebody who's going to help you if there's an issue.
Right.
You know, because you've got a personal contact, and a lot of people don't realize that it can be a lot less expensive, or it might be the same, but the benefits are better. Mm-hmm. The benefits are better. On ships, you can get free upgrades, you get free beverage packages.
Oh, wow.
You can get free land excursions, all kinds of stuff.
Gwen, why do airlines think we have no legs?
Why? I didn't hear that.
Why do airlines think we have no legs? My gosh, I took a red-eye flight, and I was trapped. I couldn't sleep. I was so cramped in that seat. And I was in the middle. I didn't sleep a wink. It's ridiculous.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Airlines.
That's right.
Now, that's a big topic. That's a big topic.
When they weigh your check-in bag now, they tell you it's too heavy. And so you put the heavy stuff in your carry-on, which goes on the same exact plane.
Yeah, and they've been weighing your carry-ons.
Well, okay, I said I talked domestic. Let me ask you this. Disneyland, I haven't been there in decades. Is it still an awesome visit?
It's a It's a destination that has a target market. At, you know, young families, or there are people we call them Disney fans, and you'll find couples going on Disney cruises without children. And so
Disney cruises
Disney changes things. They go in and they make major changes about every 2 or 3 years because they've got locals that have passes, and they've got to get them to keep wanting to come in, because once they come in, then they'll buy the food and they'll spend money. Same thing as on a cruise. They want to get you on there because they can get you to...
What's your best favorite cruise line?
Oh, I got it.
You have to give me one.
Oh, I have to give you one. Okay. this is really hard because if any of my reps were listening, they would just probably have a nightmare.
Oh, well, I don't want you to get you in trouble.
But let me tell you, it's like...
Yes, yes.
You've got popular, you've got adventure... You've got luxury, and every one of those things has the best product. A best product.
Spoken like a politician. I love it.
Yeah, you know what? Wow, actually.
Well, Gwen, we got to wrap up. We'll have you back sometime.
Yeah.
How can folks contact you?
I like using my cell phone right now. My email is gwen@gwenduncan. That's directly to me. Gwen, G-W-E-N. And Gwen Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, gwen@gwenduncan.com. I'd love to help. If you've got opportunities to give me information that you would like me to write, I do the Spectrum.
Okay. Oh, Senior Spectrum. That's where
Spectrum.
I found out about you.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for bringing your husband.
Absolutely. Her and Ron as well. It's been Gwen Duncan, and Quarterly Yours, Travel. Somehow John got away this whole segment without asking about travel packages to hedonism in Jamaica. Either way.
I've been there.